Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Existential. We are questioning human nature, questioning why we're here. Yeah, we're trying to think of why we exist and what's the purpose. Getting up existential up in here, getting real fucking existential up in here. Gonna get existential. Think, why do we think? Why do we fucking think? Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Are we recording?
We are recording, Jeff.
Oh. Well, that was some of the best rap I've heard since I heard Brass Monkey from the Beastie Boys.
Thanks, Jeff. I just figured I would do a little.
It's a funky monkey.
Do a little, yeah. little homage to everybody in the club getting tipsy, but shoehorn in our topic for the episode.
You know, quick fact. Beastie Boys created rap.
I don't think that's real, Jeff.
You don't think that's real, or you do think that's real?
I don't think that. No, Jeff, we know where rap comes from, and it's not the Beastie Boys.
Okay, well, my sources maybe have been wrong.
Where'd you get your sources from? Fucking Stormfront?
What, did you grow up in Brooklyn in 1980s?
Sorry,
Jeff. Let's just move on to our topic. Yeah, I'll have to check my sources.
I feel bad. I feel like we jumped, Jeff. I'm sorry, Jeff.
I deserved it. That was a bad
joke. I really want to say that that probably someone in the African American community started rap, but that's just a guess of mine.
Maybe it was Vanilla Ice.
It was not.
Jeff,
I can
definitely not.
We should definitely move on. Okay. Shout outs. If you guys are still listening,
you didn't introduce yourself or anything.
Oh,
you just introduced the show.
Sorry,
they know who we are. Hopefully. Sadly,
if you guys don't know who we are, I am Tyler, joined by my co-host, beautiful
Jeff.
Beautiful Jeff, as we like to call him. And we are joined this episode yet again by corporate co-creator and co-owner of Shaw for Shaw Productions. Give up your souls and holes up to Kenneth Patterson,
everybody. Hey guys, how are you?
He's working on our change of format.
Yeah, we were sent down with a clear message,
which is what.
I don't know. You sent me down, Tyler.
Oh, that's right. I forget that I'm the system.
I saw it in his eyes.
I forget I'm the system I'm rebelling against.
We may turn this into just a variety show.
It could be. I'll sing.
That was big in the 70s.
Sing and dance.
That was big in the 70s. We're doing a nice little variety podcast. That would be kind of fun. But we
have a little sing, a little dance, some jokes.
Yeah.
Little soft shoe.
A little soft shoe. Well, let's keep the locomotive running onto the rails that either has five people or one people. You decide who we hit. Shout outs. Tiffy Stallsworth, thank you for listening as always. We mentioned that you were sad about the shout outs, but hopefully by now you've adjusted.
Did she make some kind of comment?
I
think she was upset there wasn't a shout out.
Oh,
I think, yeah.
Well, that's understandable.
People like it.
Yeah.
I think I want people to let us know that they like it. So if you would like a shout out, please message us on our social media apps. And
if you ask for a shout out, we will give you one.
Oh, we'll shout out anybody all the time.
And you know, if
we'll make a whole show out of it, if we get enough.
Yeah. And if you don't, a whole show of shout outs.
That could work.
I'm not opposed to it, but like I rapped in the beginning of this episode, we're going to be talking about existentialism is traumatic.
So are you saying that of the people we normally would shout out, if a trolley car is going towards Tiffy or a trolley car is going towards five of the other people that listen to us, what would we do?
That is a good question.
Tiffy, we could save other people.
We would save Tiffy because she's going to promote us to more than five people.
I think you're right there. I think that might be the right thing to do.
This is the most HR decision I've ever heard in my life.
That's why corporate sent me down, dude. With a clear message.
So guys, what's up with existentialism? Why do we think existentialism is traumatic? Does everyone know what existentialism is? Do you think our listeners know?
I think we have smart listeners.
I think we have smart listeners. We don't need to tell them the definition, but we probably will anyways.
I feel like I should go ahead and say it. Just for anyone who doesn't know, they're just tuning in for the first time. This is the first time they're ever hearing humanity. For those of you who don't know, existentialism is a form of philosophical inquiry that explores the issue of human existence. Just thinking about why we exist.
Yeah.
And human choice.
Yeah, a central kind of thing of existentialism is that personal freedom, individual responsibility, and deliberate choice are essential to the pursuit of self-discovery and the determination of life's meaning. Fuck, I read that all wrong. Like, I had more, but that was it.
No, I think that was good.
People know that I'm fucking reading. They don't know. They know this isn't my thought.
Why would you have memorized the definition when you can just read it?
I guess that's true. That's true.
And get it right, you know.
So Jeff, this is one that you spitball a few ideas at me, and this is one that stuck to my chest. Why'd you pitch this one?
Existentialism is something that I think I talk about a lot in therapy to my clients and also to myself and my colleagues. We talk a lot about choice and the illusion of, I think what we see a lot of times people is they feel like they don't have any control over anything. And so they try to control things that they can't control and they don't take control over things they could control. So they want to control what other people do or what the world does or whatever, and then they feel like they have no personal control. And so it leads to a feeling of helplessness, which can lead to despair.
Right. Oh, I definitely agree with that. And I think that's even like kind of what I've been going through, is that it feels like there really isn't a choice when it comes to this shit. But it's very easy because you want to find meaning. Everyone wants to have a purpose in life. Everyone wants to find the answer of why we're here. What's the point of us being here? What is the point? What is my point? My point surely isn't to just fucking key in data into a fucking computer and commute for 2 hours to my shithole fucking blown out trailer where I chop logs and wood and put it in a little furnace and I eat ravioli out of a fucking can and shoot squirrels with a BB gun.
But all that sounds pretty cool. And it's all subjective, Tyler. All that's subjective. Like the way that you feel about something is not, it is a choice. It's your choice. So, and I think that with therapy, as Jeff was saying, it's like, I would say that a lot of these people have a problem controlling their choice. They think that they don't have a choice and they try to control other people's choices in lieu of controlling their own, because it's easier to tell somebody to control their choices instead of, it's way harder to control your own choices.
Yeah.
The easier thing is to make somebody else control their choices, and then you feel some kind of like I did from making somebody else do something.
Yeah.
Which is easier than making yourself do it.
Yeah, it feels easier to better someone else than better yourself.
Right, absolutely. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. Not just people that are in therapy, but just in general. A lot of people, you see like people making comments to someone out in public or something like that. It's like them like trying to better somebody else while ignoring everything that's wrong with them, you know. Mm. The Karens, if you will. I think that's where that comes from, you know.
Existentialism equals Karens?
I think that not
that's the new headline.
I think that being a Karen is an existential issue. I think that yelling at someone in public, I think it's the perfect it's a perfect example of an existential issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're yelling
at someone what you're
in
doing
public
is,
for being you're like yelling at someone in public for yelling at someone in public or something, you know, like don't be loud in public.
I think the problem they're dealing with their inadequacy or their sadness or their mental health issues by attacking someone else.
Right.
So it's a traditional kind of Freudian, you know, I'm going to project. So I'm miserable, so I'm going to make those around me miserable.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of dealing with what is making me miserable.
Right.
Yeah, isn't that like a...
I want everybody to be miserable with me.
Or just controlling my choice to be happy or miserable, you know?
Isn't that like a young thing, Jungian thing about like what we say about other people is a reflection of ourselves?
Absolutely.
That's definitely a Freudian, and Jungian was a Freudian.
Freudian was a Jungian.
He's a Jungian.
That's why Freud wasn't allowed to live near a school because he liked him young. That's right.
J-U-N-G.
That's a good one.
There's a lot of, I think life is not simple. Dealing with being alive, I think we always like to say the good old days or the it's better now than it used to be. I think that's all subjective, but it's just hard to be alive. There's so many things. You've got physical things that are trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. You've got things you have to do to survive physically, emotionally. You've got family to take care of. You've got all these things to do. It's complicated. And so it's easy to say, I have no control. Or to feel like you have no control, because then you have no responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then you can just say, well, the reason I do these things is because of these things.
Right.
And I think there's some legitimacy to that. Like, for example, like if you are in poverty and you stole something to eat, you didn't really have you had a choice whether to do it or not, but you had to make that choice because you were trying to survive.
Well, that's kind of like what... like existentialism does kind of like touch on in that sense of like there people are worried, especially me, I'm worried about if I'm a good person or a bad person. And like that is determined by our actions. Like if I'm a shithead person to people, then I'm a shithead person.
Right.
It's when I decide to do good and do kind things is when I am a good person. And humans are not good people, bad people. We are people who are capable of both.
Absolutely.
And that's what is scary. Because as much that person can fucking steal a car as much as it could fucking save a child from a burning
building.
Right,
for sure. So, it's like Kai the Hitchhiker. You know that story?
Yes, Kai. He fucking...
That's the same way, dude. He's so lovable, but he's just like, I'm fucking murderer.
But he really is just like a hatchet-wielding maniac.
Right.
Have you seen that, Jeff?
What is it now?
Kai the Hitchhiking Maniac?
I don't know.
There's a documentary
about it.
There
was a meat smash, 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 you know?
This guy who like, what was it that his whole story
he was hitchhiking. He gets picked up by this guy. They do. I think they do drugs together.
They like smoke a joint that was laced.
He rams his car into this like crowd of people, gets out and then Kai jumps out and just hatchets him in the skull, essentially. And, but turns out Kai he's like some weirdo.
He's a weirdo that like had killed some other lady.
Like already killed some other people.
Well, this isn't a true crime podcast. So right, we're not talking about crime.
No, but existentially, that's like what Kai is kind of that thing.
He was
you know?
A hero to some.
Yeah, he was a hero to some and a villain to others, and he like towed that line for sure.
That's very true. So, but Jeff, tell us more about like, just like, not about your clients, but like maybe just the sentiment of like.
So I think the big thing is, and this is, I'll just use myself because just it's easy to get into this sort of downward spiral of despair when you feel helpless. Mm-hmm. So like recently my whole thing is, and I have a good job, I've got a good life, but it's like, you know, work is stressful. I have to get up in the morning. I have to go to work. I have to work because you have bills to pay. You can't just, or you feel like you can't just stop working because then what would happen? Mm-hmm. And so, but it's like all these choices you've made up to this point have put you in the situation you were in. And our society has also done that. So it's about choices that you do have to make. And the classic example, one of the classic examples of existentialism is Viktor Frankl, who was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. And he wrote about, they can take everything from you. They can force you to do things or say things, but they cannot take what's in your head. And so ultimately, you have control of what's inside of your head. Hmm. And then from that, you have control of what you do and the choices you make. And so some people see that as very responsible. Oh, I have responsibility. I have to be in control of myself. I have no one to blame it on. Some people see that as burdensome. I see that as incredibly freeing to the idea of, I do have choices. I may have limited my choices by making decisions or other choices, but I do have choices. I could quit work. I could do that. There might be consequences from that, but I could do that. And so, but we don't have control over anybody else. And that's the other thing. So we have control over what we do. We have no control over anybody else. And so our control is limited to very small things that we can do. We can't control others. And so a lot of people have problems because they want to control others. I want my mom to do this. I want my partner to do this. I want my boss to do this. And so you try to make them do that. And you have to realize you can't do that. You have no control over them.
Yeah.
And well, what people find out is that the more control you have over this yourself, the higher probability you have to control the others around you. And that's the 100% truth. That's why, like when Charles Manson would control people, he would just be, you know what I'm saying? He would take less acid and he would be able to, you know,
coerce them. Into thinking that there's a race war happening Helter Skelter.
Right.
Yeah.
Because how are we controlled in our society? That kind of thing.
Right. It mm-hmm. is. It's the same situation.
Yep.
We're controlled by fear.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And you look at religious systems and they are set up sort of to control people.
Well, they were set up before the police. That's how the religious yeah. system, that was just before the government. How were they doing it before a government? Well, they were the Catholic Church, you know, like,
yeah.
God damn, like, yeah.
How were they doing it? They were doing it with the Judaism, you know, with the mosques, and that's how they were doing it, you know, and, mm-hmm. With temples those were the police stations. I mean,
that's fucking crazy.
Something crazy happened to you. You didn't run to the police station. You would go to the nearest church because they would help you. They would take care of you. They would punish a person that was wronging you.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were just the police.
Fuck. I don't even think about that. And like, especially with like the Crusades.
Right. Absolutely.
Before that, where it's like, mm-hmm. we're just slaughtering.
And then it's like the religious war against, it's like religion versus, you know, the government. Why don't those things mesh? It's because one is, they're both the same system.
Yeah.
Because
it's
against each other.
It's essentially a hat on a hat. They right. have to be separate.
Right.
So it's like a witch trial. So we're going to torture you until you admit you're a witch. And then when you admit you're a witch, we're going to execute you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like religion can be used and in many ways is used as a negative. But there is yeah. a way to have a religious faith to try to explain things that you don't understand. Use it as a positive force for moving you forward, to use it as a way to give yourself comfort for lost people or tragedies you're going through. That's a different way to use religion. I think the problematic use of religion is control, where you have to do this because if you don't do this, then you're going to be tortured forever. So yeah. You have to do these things. So there are ways that I think religion could be used in a very healthy way. The control and forcing people to, or oppressing people, is not the healthy way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong if you have faith and you believe in that. That's great. Believe in that. If it makes you, if it helps you be a better person, then believe in that. For me personally, I just after like looking into everything and stuff, I found that I fall a little bit under the absurdism belief system of like, I believe the universe is irrational and meaningless, but like, that's not going to affect my mood. I get to decide like what meaning I give to something. I give my own meaning to life instead of having faith. So if that works for me,
which is existentialism, you are in control.
Yes.
You choose how to make yourself happy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cause that's the evidence I can back. That's the evidence I can see.
Existentialism and absurdism are definitely cousins that hold hands. You know what
I'm saying? They're definitely play around cousins.
Right.
Cousins that hold hands?
Yeah.
They're cousins that, I've never heard that expression, but I love it. Oh, they're cousins that
hold hands. A good one.
That's like a friend of Ellen's.
Right.
I think there's such freedom from realizing you have limited control, but you do have control. You don't have control of others. You have control of yourself and how you react and deal with things.
Right.
Ultimately, I 100% believe in medication and therapy for treatment of mental health issues, but you can choose how to look at something in a different way so that it might not be as depressing as you could look at it one way. If I'm totally out of control, I'm just having things happen to me, that's very depressing, versus saying I've got things happening to me, but I have some control to maybe alter the way that I react to that. Mm-hmm. That gives you some power.
Right. I've always been under that assumption myself, is that no matter what happens to me in my life, I much identify with that fellow you were talking about. No matter what happens to me in my life, I can always choose my reaction, myself, what's going on in me. Nobody can dictate that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I get that. I get that thought too. I just, for me, it's something that I agree with. But at the same time, it's hard to maintain and control my reaction to things when it's just harder to live, it seems. And I say it's harder to live solely based on financial reasons. Like life in the non-currency realm of things is already fucking hard. But when the currency realm gets fucking oversworn with this shit, it's hard to maintain composure. It's hard to be kind of stoic. It's hard to not just feel kind of hopeless.
And be like, what is it all for?
Yeah. And just kind of be like, what's it all for? Why are we?
War, what's it good for?
Right, why are we for?
Why are we for?
So, but I think we find out of some of these extreme kind of things, we see all kinds of beautiful things come out of. So like art, all types of things like that, right. Creativity, comedy, whatever, comes out of this need to try to survive and explain some of this difficulty. And so you can use creativity to explore your pain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm a firm believer that creativity is just like some kind of stress hormone. It's like something that we need to do to like take our brains off of like everything that's going on. It's like the more stressed you are, the more you need to be creative, the more you need to do stuff, you know. I think there's a direct correlation between stressors and how much you're doing that is those things that are those things that you love, and you have to have a balance of that.
Yeah, it's just it feels easier to get feeling like it's easy to feel like things are just more existential. It's hard to believe we live in these times, at least for me, I should say.
What the craziest, these are crazy times,
the craziest and best time to ever be alive in the whole entire existence of the planet.
I guess. I mean, maybe
sick, dude.
I want to pose this question. I've been wanting to post it online and I never got around to it because I don't like going on social media and posting things, and I don't know, I feel self-conscious about it, but is anyone really having a good time?
I mean, I am.
I mean, right now, I am.
I mean, but right now, I am, but I guess I mean just in the general state.
Like, I ultimately go through ups and downs because I'm pretty solid for the most part. I go through ups and downs, but I am ultimately having an amazing time. I think this is a crazy place to be. And dude, we're fucking living this thing in color, dude. It's like crazy out here. This is insane. If I just want to boil it down, shit's insane to me personally.
I think the pace of life is so much more accelerated. While thousands of years ago, what we may be doing is working at a farm, apprenticing to do something. Be basically seeing our immediate family, and now it's, you know, like everything is so fast and moves so quickly, but
also you have the option to be slow. You know, a lot of people, you could turn that phone off, you could have a flip phone, you have the option.
Yeah,
people, we have the option to be slow. There are you know,
you can do that, definitely.
Yeah, we live in a time where you do have a ton of choice.
Yeah,
it all depends on what you want. You can be whoever you want. That's why I think we live in the craziest time imaginable, is that in this day today, you can almost be all everywhere on the planet, with the exception of maybe a little bit of it. You can pretty much be who you want to be. You can choose to be who you want to be, whether that is a villain or a foe in that area or whatever. You still have the choice to be who you want to be. You know, they haven't figured out how to take that from everybody, you know.
Which is, yeah, that's a good thing. And that kind of, you know, that kind of goes into like one of the things, because like there's this concept in existentialism called existence precedes essence. And it's kind of the reverse of like the traditional philosophy of essence versus existence, where because we put value and identity to life as we inherently do not have identity or value. Like when we're born, we're just a fucking baby that screams and cries. Now, a lot of people interpret that kind of thought as like, we can be anything we want. And yes, we can be anything we want in this time. But a really core thing in existentialism, and it's something I really believe in too, is being authentic. You want to be as authentic and as you as you can. So while you can be anything you want to be, you need to be what you need to be. You know what I mean?
But is, you got the need for speed.
You got to be the need for speed.
But is that need already, the question is that need already determined by genetics, by
that? I mean,
like, what determines that need?
That's a good question. And that's something I hadn't thought about. I think, just like off the cuff, yes, I think it is kind of predetermined. I mean, based on how you grow up, what your interests are, the environment you're in, all that factors into what you're meant to do. And if you're meant to be a crackhead janitor, then
Well, I think that plays on choice. I think that probably nobody's meant to be a crackhead janitor, but they probably had the opportunity to be something and do something, and they
decided to smoke crack and be a janitor.
Right. Or just smoke crack. I mean, a crack smoking janitor seems like he's doing pretty well for himself. So.
Crackhead standard. You know what?
Right. Crackhead.
I think
standard
one of the things we can agree on is that when you're smoking crack, you're happy.
Right. I mean,
probably.
I mean, that moment when you hit the pipe and then you get the first little thing, you're happy for that moment.
Absolutely.
You might not be happy later, but
I've never seen someone frown and hit a crack pipe. I'll tell you that.
I've never seen an unhappy crack smoker.
I have, but
I mean, I don't know if I've ever
all the time. That's crack. Not they're not all unhappy. I mean, a lot of them are very happy, even like overwhelmingly happy, you know.
And I see what you're saying with like that was a choice, sure. But wouldn't you also say that people are also predisposed?
Their purpose is predetermined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes your purpose is just live a life.
Right. You have that option at least.
To just do your fucking thing. We don't all have to monetize our hobbies. We don't all have to be famous. If everyone's famous, is anyone famous? What is famous? Does it matter?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, leave it better than you came in. You know, that's like the general idea.
Is like
to leave it better than you came in. But and even being a crackhead, you can do that. So, I mean,
he has a job. He's a janitor.
He's a janitor. He's taking care. I mean. Who else is going to sprinkle that stuff on all the vomit, you know? Do they still do that in schools? Is that still a thing, you think?
Jeff, I don't know. I don't know why Jeff would know that.
The sprinkle stuff on the vomit?
Oh, yeah, that's a good smell.
And then
it
just goes away? It's like cherry.
No, it doesn't go away. I remember that smell, though.
Yeah.
It was like taking the vomit up to a cedary sweet level. It's like taking a smell that's bad and making it 10 times worse. And you already always knew in school that somebody had vomited. You just smell that and you're like, all right, somebody vomited.
Someone puked. Oh, yeah. Speaking of vomit, Jeff. How do you feel about doing a little existential peer review right now since I have corporate here on the line?
All right.
Just to let you guys know, everything is being recorded.
Doing a podcast, so of course it's really recorded.
I mean, just on my end, I'm recording.
That seems a little redundant.
In my pocket just so you can't erase anything.
Okay, but we weren't going to erase anything. We'd send you the... Anyways, Jeff... So Ken has the questions from corporate.
Okay.
So, and it's just a little peer review. It's nothing bad. It has nothing to do with you missing an episode.
Okay.
But Ken just had some concerns and thoughts, and he wanted to express those to you.
Corporate, I'm ready.
Okay, Jeff. Corporate really needs to know how long you've been on TikTok every day. Is one thing that we need that's relevant to the situation. Another one is maybe how fast you run a 40, you know, and do you sit in an ergonomical chair? Is that something that you have for work, or do you do a standing desk? I don't know. We need to know your desk situation is what we're trying to figure out.
So
we're just trying to hone in what's going on with you, you know.
So
you were out with the change. We didn't know if we were, you know.
So
we needed a standing desk.
At least 11 hours of TikTok a day.
Okay, that's fair. That's okay. I'm just gonna write some of these things down. It's not like a good or a bad, you know.
At least 11 hours a day. I have a sleeping desk. I like to call it
sleeping desk. Okay, so it's like you stand and sleep. It's like a vampire.
I just lay on the couch.
Oh, so it's actually just a couch.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got that.
And what was the other question?
What was your 40? You know what that is? How fast you run?
Oh, 40? Yeah. 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 I run a 40 in about a minute and 47 seconds. All
right. Good, 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 good. Have you, do you like a pastrami sandwich on rye with a mustard Swiss?
You know, that sounds delicious. I'm currently not eating mammals.
Oh, nice.
So,
nice. We're definitely going to write that down.
Hold on. Yeah.
I think I would enjoy a pastrami sandwich with mustard.
Yeah, you're no longer eating mammals.
From a Jewish deli? I mean, it is really, that's one of the things that I,
I'm sure.
Here's the thing with mammals. I'm not anti people that eat mammals. I've just begun to see how cute they are. And I love animals so much that I've sort of started looking at pigs and cows as sort of like pets.
So you're saying capybara?
But I'm not against.
No. Capybara
burger? It's not.
No.
Right?
It's the factory farming system. It has nothing to do with a local person that raises their creatures and eats them.
Farm.
I would agree with that. I commend that, Jeff. I think that factory farming is a terrible thing, and I think that everybody needs to know how to raise their own food and provide for themselves. I think that every family could do that, and it could provide a huge.
I mean, you can go to the pets. You can go to the shelter and get as many pets as you want.
Right, and each one
and
of those, you fatten them up, and
Jeff,
you fatten them up. Yep.
Little meows.
And if you mate them, they have lots and lots of young.
Jeff.
You can't say meow without mmm.
Jeff.
I'm kidding about the eating the cats. Gosh, I'm a cat lover.
Same.
Jeff. Corporate wants to know about this whole not eating mammals thing.
Oh, yeah. They just texted.
Is this because of TikTok?
No.
It wasn't something you saw on there?
Are you saying you've never seen a cute cow or pig video online?
I have.
Okay.
Would you say more on TikTok?
I think it has affected me.
Would you say that it swayed you to no longer eat animals?
Not animals, mammals.
Mammals, okay. Cute animals.
I eat chicken and fish.
So you've never.
And turkey.
And so have you seen cute chicken videos?
Because they're.
So
awesome.
The problem is that I'm running out of things
chicken?
To eat.
Like, don't look up a silky chicken.
What the fuck
I'm
is a silky
out of
chicken?
I'm running out of things to eat, but a chicken apparently can remember 100 faces.
They are
and
smart.
And turkeys. Turkeys like cuddle and have sociability. So I mean, I probably eventually will go vegetarian.
Yeah, and don't
right
let me,
now I
don't
need...
let me inform you of the sentience of fish because they are smart as a motherfucker too. All fish, not just
fish.
Yes, fish are very smart animals.
Do they feel pain?
I would say 100% they feel pain. Why, it would be insane to say just because the animal doesn't react the same to pain as we do doesn't mean they don't feel it. That's for damn
what about
sure.
Like a shrimp?
They actually say that shrimp are one of those things that you can eat. They don't have brains or anything, so they're like shrimp lobster.
So,
they're not sentient. They don't know that they're anything.
They don't know they're delicious.
They don't even
know
they're
not aware that they're
right,
delicious.
They're not aware of that. No,
they're not aware that they're delicious.
And like, but I've always said this. You know, a lot of you know people will eat fish that aren't eating a lot of those other things and really they I was
right.
I was in the fish industry for a while and so
right
but they are very very smart. I mean, watch that.
Isn't it interesting how like we don't want to hurt the dolphins when we're tuna farming, but we don't care about the tuna, right? We're gonna eat them.
The tuna are super smart and they're super vital to the ecosystem, so it's like crazy, you know, that we would say not.
So you know what this makes me want to do? It makes me want to take both of you out to Red Lobster.
Right.
And sample some of these animals.
Oh, yeah. You know what I really want
discussing?
To try is cuttlefish. They're like
you're not supposed
smart.
To eat them, I thought. I thought
they
were poisonous.
They're really no way, dude. Cuttlefish?
The cuttlefish?
What's the fish that makes your lips tingle? The
puffer
the
fish.
Puffer fish?
What's the puffer?
Is that the poison one?
Yeah, that's the poison
one. Okay. Puffer fish. Mm-hmm. For everyone listening and keeping score at home, puffer fish.
So even though we are talking about animals and what we eat, this is about existentialism. I'm making a choice because I have the privilege of making that choice.
Shit.
Because I don't have to eat what I mean, I'm not starving to death. I have the choice of going to the store and saying, I'm going to purchase this item. So this only works. It's sort of a pretentious thing to be able to choose what I eat. Because in some places you eat what you can eat, right?
Right.
You just eat it.
Yeah.
Because you're starving.
Right.
So you eat like dogs and stuff.
Or whatever's around.
Because you eat whatever you can eat because you're starving.
That's true.
So I'm not anti that. I'm not anti eating a dog if you're hungry. We don't need to eat dogs in America because we have plenty of meat.
And we love dogs.
They're stringy, I'm sure. Sure of it.
You only should eat a dog if they've been bad.
Oh, okay. Is that that's the new gentle parenting?
That's how you really get
if they pee on the floor, then you can eat them. You can cut off a paw.
You heard it here first, folks.
I think PETA is now no longer sponsoring us.
Oh yeah, I was just about to do the ad read for PETA. Oh. But I feel like I should read it anyways. Yeah, you guys are bad for eating meat.
PETA. We can have PETA on somebody from PETA on next week to talk to us.
Yeah. Next week, tune in to the special PETA episode. Hopefully I don't screw it up and get a pedo instead, but we'll find out next week.
Wow. Guys, that got dark.
I think this has reached its logical conclusion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Any final thoughts, Ken? I feel like you got one more thought in you.
Well, I think that to put a cap on existentialism, I think that we all don't know what's going on and who gives a fuck.
That was beautifully said. Jeff, any final thoughts?
You have power, even if you feel like you don't have power. So find the things you have control over. Don't try to control others. Control yourself.
Yeah.
And use that to help yourself feel power.
Right.
And as always, if you can find one, burn down a government building. This has been everyone here.
Right.
And everything is traumatic. I'm Tyler.
I am going to hold my name for
he's to bleak.
Keep myself from being Lord have mercy.
And I'm Kenneth Patterson.
And as always, please take care of yourself.